that Carol was written by, we have three chaps in the choir who travel across from the Letchlade area to Beaverless, and they're three of the most they're three of the most regular of our men, and we call them the men from the east, and one of them, his surname is Hopkins, and that was written by somebody by the name of Hopkins. So I've never come across that before. Well, it's good to be with you this evening and to just share just a few thoughts. I've seem to have done a number of short talks this Christmas, what with the Gideons in a couple of schools, and also to at one or two of the homes where we visited. And my thoughts have very much been on the gifts, the three gifts. But when I was thinking about this, I thought I'd like to do something differently, and I'd been praying about it. And I just want to, very briefly, there's nothing, it's not going to be a very deep sermon or anything like that, but I just thought we could look about the attitudes to the Christ child. We're living in a day when the attitudes of many of the people around us are anything but what we would like them to be. As you know, I often mention from the platform when I'm either leading or speaking that I get messages in from Premier Radio and one or two other places. And so much of it is negative. And that during the coming up to the Christmas period, enjoying it, it seems there's a number of leading people in our country who would like to take the word Christ out of Christmas. We see it, don't we? The one thing that really annoys me, really gets under my skin, is when I see something with Xmas. Indeed, I was very tempted to speak about that tonight, but I think it's terrible. And, you know, I'm reminded of when I was at the university, one of my colleagues came in one morning, and he was deadly serious. I thought he was having a joke, but he was deadly serious. He walked to the, I was based in a building near the Elephant and Castle, and he used to come from the train through the shopping mall, and he'd come in and he said, "Hey, guess what?" He said, "They're bringing religion into Christmas." And I looked at him, you know, and I said, "Seriously? Honestly?" he said. And I realised he was deadly serious. He wasn't a Christian man, but there we are. And yet he asked me, would I take his wife's funeral when his wife died? But that was another story. So you see, there's many people around, and the attitudes toward the Lord Jesus Christ are not really what they should be. And of course, I was reminded of the verse, remember, when the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, and he asked them the question. He said, "What do you, who do you think I am?" And, you know, they came up with one or two different answers. And it was Peter, wasn't it, who came up and he said, "You are indeed the Christ, the Son of God." And he was so pleased with Peter's reply. He said, "You know, that's not something you've dreamt up yourself. The Holy Spirit has revealed that to you." And so, as we're at this Christmas time, it's a season of extremes, I suppose, for many people. It's a busy time, but it's a happy time. And, you know, there's a lot of extra involvement in things for many of us. A lot of extra expense. More socialising than usual. More food and drink, I suppose, as we socialise with family and friends, and in our churches and what have you. But, you know, the question is, one or two people have said to me even this year, "Well, why do you celebrate Christmas as a Christian? It's a pagan festival." Well, we're not going to go into that tonight. Maybe that for another time. But, you know, maybe it is a pagan festival, but we're not looking at it from that point of view, are we? We've been singing all these lovely carols, and we've been reading from the scriptures, old and new, about this one who was going to come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and coming in. And so it is that he should be the centre, the focal point of Christmas. So what do we think? Where do we fit into the picture this Christmas? What is our attitude? Well, I've picked out some of the main ones very quickly just to draw attention to them. You might like to go away and read those scriptures again and remind yourself of them. First one, of course, are the shepherds. Luke 2, verses 13 to 18 were read to us. And you know, those shepherds, they reckon that, I've read in numerous occasions, that shepherds were not the most liked of people. They were quite rough people, men, and apparently they were quite, you know, low down in society. And yet the angel appeared to the shepherds, didn't he? They were the first to realize that that baby was born in that manger, and it was none other than the Son of God. And I wonder if we really tonight, as we think about him again, that we truly recognize that that baby was indeed the Son of God. You know, there's a hymn writer, isn't there, Christina Rossetti, and she's written at least two hymns that to do with Christmas that are very telling words, and one of them is In the Bleak Midwinter. And you know, in the last verse she writes, "What can I give him? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. Yet what I can I give him? Give him my heart." And that's what we want to do tonight, isn't it? We want to make sure that every one of us have given our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that we can give. Nothing less is sufficient. Because when we think of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. I was interested this morning when Wayne had all those many illustrations up for us to see, and one of them said that he was born to die. I was taken to task one Christmas by somebody over the fact that I'd made Christmas miserable because I'd linked Christmas with Easter. How can you separate the two? The Lord Jesus Christ was born to die. He was the only baby that's ever been born with the death penalty over his head. He was born to die. Yeah, we're all going to die, but you know, you'd be a pretty sad person if you went and saw a newborn baby and you said to the mother, "Yeah, he's lovely or she's lovely, but just think, I wonder how long she's going to live or he's going to live." They wouldn't invite you back, would they? I'm pretty sure. So, you know, but the Lord Jesus, he was born to die. We can't separate the two. So they came in adoration. But you know, the kings that we've just been singing about, they came in adulation. You know, they travelled hundreds of miles on camels. You know, when you think of the way that we can travel today in comfortable motor cars, comfortable aeroplanes, so many people these days seem to go on cruises, you know, and they tell me, I keep getting recommended to go on a cruise, you know, and all the luxury that there are on these things. But these men, we don't know that there were three. It's only surmised that there were three because they were the gifts that they brought. We don't know how many there were, but they came and they travelled a long way, and they had been studying stars and no doubt the scriptures and what have you, and they'd realized that there was one coming who was special, none other than the Messiah. And so they came along and they truly adored him. Remember, they went to the king. Where would you go if there's a new prince born? Well, you'd go to the palace, wouldn't you? But he wasn't there. He was born in very humble circumstances. So it is that they gave their time, their efforts, they gave up their home comforts just to come and worship that baby. He was probably a little boy by this time, getting on certainly in his second year. And it had taken them all that time to come. But they came and they found him and they presented to him those gifts that we were reminded of this morning. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. Reminding us that he is indeed King. King of kings and Lord of lords. And that he is indeed our great high priest. The frankincense and the myrrh is an embalming fluid, amongst other things. And that spoke of the fact that he was born to die. So we acknowledge him today as that King of Kings, Lord of Lords, by yielding our lives to him. And then Mary. And you know, I've said this before when I've been preaching, you know, with our Roman Catholic friends, they've taken Mary to one end of the spectrum, as it were. And I think those of us in evangelical circles, it seems this is my sort of take on it, that very often we've tended to want to get back, because of course they do say certain things that we don't agree with from the Bible. But we're not, again, I'm not here to throw stones or to be controversial this evening, but they do venerate Mary to a high position. And I think, you know, that we, those of us who have been brought up in our tradition, we tend to perhaps not give her the veneration that she is due. She must have been a wonderful person. She must have been lived a really respectable and good life for God to choose her. What a gift it was that she should be chosen to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring him, be the means by which he came into the world. And so it is that, you know, we were reminded in one of the readings that, you know, when the angel came to her, she was naturally afraid. And she was just a young woman, not married, not even engaged. And she was given that news that she was going to have a baby that was not going to be born by normal means or conceived by normal means. But for all she was afraid, she said that she was willing to do that which God wanted us to do. And I wonder tonight if we have got the same attitude, that if the Lord wants us to do something, then we should be ready and willing to do so. And then, of course, there's acceptance on the part of Joseph. Joseph, he did what the angel had commanded him. Yes, what he was going to do, we read that he was going to take Mary aside and he was going to break off that relationship, that engagement. And but, you know, it wasn't God's plan at all. God said that he was to take her and he was to marry her, and because that which was conceived of her was of the Holy Spirit. Yes, again, Wayne said this morning, didn't he, that he was brought into this world through the vessel of Mary, of a woman, but there was no human, no man involved at all. And that's why he could be the sinless servant, and he could give his life for us. So God's plan was for Jesus to be born into a normal family and to grow up in a normal way. But at the end, when he got to about 30 years old, he had that public ministry that he did as he went around Palestine and revealing that he was the Son of God, revealing the fact that God loved mankind and wanted that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. He wanted that to be restored. And so it was that he did it. And I trust tonight that every one of us know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Yes, there was aggravation in it, as we think of the king. You know, the wise men came, didn't they? And they went to the palace, as you would do. And they asked, where's this prince that's been born? And Herod, he immediately was very angry. But then he was a scheming person, wasn't he? And he said to them, he said, well, yes, he said, when you go find him, he said, then he said, perhaps you'll come back and tell me, so I too can go and worship him. We know that he wouldn't have gone to worship him, because what did he do? He had all the little boys under the age of two put to death. But God, he couldn't thwart God's plan. God had sent the Lord Jesus down to be our Saviour. And so, having received the gift from the wise men had achieved that which they'd set out to do. And now they were going off back home. But God revealed to them in that dream that they should go back another way. And then Joseph took Mary and Jesus and went into Egypt until Herod had passed away. So it is that he came to procure salvation for every one of us. And I wonder tonight if there's anyone here, and I don't think there is, but if there's any apprehension on your part, any doubts or suspicion. Jesus said when he was here, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, Jesus, we read his name is Emmanuel. God is with us. He cannot lie. He's the truth. He came to make a way back to God. He came to procure eternal life through his death and ultimately his resurrection for us. Yes, we saw this morning, and I don't know whether you noticed, the American spelling. I remember we, as a young man, we, as young fellows, we used to sing a chorus, S-A-V, I-O-U-R, we want you all to know. We couldn't have sung that this morning. It was S-A-V-I-O-R, the American spelling, wouldn't it? But there we are. He came to be our Saviour. And it's as simple as ABC, isn't it? A, accept the fact that you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. Then believe that Jesus can save you. Yes, this baby that was born, that we're remembering again this year, in the year 2,000 years later, he is the one who came to save us. So believe that Jesus can save you, and C, confess that you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. And you know, if you do that, the result is that you will become a child of God. Yes, a friend of God. You know God is your friend, and you can have that wonderful relationship with him every day. It's wonderful to do. I trust that this Christmas that it will be a blessed time for every one of us, irrespective of our circumstances. We know that we have problems around us from within our own fellowship, serious problems and illnesses. But you know, these things, whilst they're very real, the important is that we can look beyond that, because we know that God knows all these things, and that one day we shall be in his presence, because the baby that came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago He's going to come back as the King of Kings, and he's going to take all those who love him and trust him back to be with him. You know, you can get into deep debates about these things as to where we're going to be, what heaven's going to be like, and so on. All you need to know is that one day we're going to be in his presence, wherever that might be, and that it's going to be wonderful and far better than anything we've ever experienced or are likely to experience down here. Just as these few thoughts that the Lord gave me over the past few days will be a blessing to us this Christmas. We're going to sing that lovely carol that it's one of my favourites, but that's not why I've chosen it. I've chosen it for that last verse, that if I were a wise man, I would do my part, and so on. So let's sing In the Bleak Midwinter, and then we'll just close with a word of prayer. Thanks, Keith. Yes, what I can I give him, I give my heart. Lord, we pray that if there is anyone in here this evening who has not yet opened their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that from the readings and the thoughts concerning the Christmas story, that they might realize that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for them. Lord, if we'd been the only sinner in the world, he still would have come. Such is the love of our Saviour. And so, our Father, we pray tonight that you will bless your word bless all the singing, Lord, and we pray that as we would part the one from the other in a little while, that it might be that we can all say that it's been good to have been here, to have worshipped the Beloved, as one of our carols has said. So, Lord, bless us, we pray. And, Lord, we just take a moment to remember those this Christmas who are going through difficult times. Lord, we just pray that they might know your peace, your presence, and that they in some manner might be able to rejoice in the knowledge of their knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them and knows everything that they're going through. We ask these things then, our Father, as we give you our thanks in our Saviour's alone worthy and precious name. Amen.